This Israel Report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, including finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property, and getting it rental ready. The Blue Agency is happy to announce that they are in South Africa for private meetings. Contact Barry Cohen via WhatsApp on 076-577-2000. That's 076-577-2000. The Blue Agency, your Israeli property, is in good hands.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov. While we've been very preoccupied with the political instability, I think that's it's fair to say there's political instability, even though we have this coalition which is relatively strong and has a certain majority in the Knesset that we haven't seen in recent years. But I think there has been an element of political instability due to the policies and the people involved. So while we've been preoccupied with that in the central part of Israel, what's going on the northern border is completely different business. And in particular, the residents of Matula have been subject to laser pointers from over the border in Lebanon. And we understand that these are Hezbollah terrorists who have been using laser pointers to harass the residents of Matula. They've been standing about 200 meters away from Matula on a hill which overlooks Matula, and they have these strong laser beams that they use to blind people walking in the street or those traveling in vehicles, and also even managing to get inside people's houses with these laser beams. And the response from the IDF has been to somehow try to shine a light onto the Hezbollah terrorists who are standing on that hill in order to try somehow to discourage them from standing there, but it hasn't been very successful. And now we understand that the IDF Northern Command has turned to the United Nations force in Lebanon to intervene. Apparently they've promised to intervene, but in the meantime, the laser lights continue. And this comes on the back of a wall that the IDF has been building, which is apparently about 15 meters high, with the aim of, along that border, obviously, with the aim of preventing infiltration from Lebanon into Israeli territory. All that Hezbollah have been doing in the face of this construction of this wall is they've been building their watchtowers a little higher. They've just been pushing them up, and it's kind of linked to a story which we understand that Hezbollah have actually been increasing the number of new observation and guard posts that are adjacent to that Israeli border. In addition to making them a little bit higher so they can see over this wall that's being constructed, they're actually increasing the number. And over the last year or so, we understand that they've built something like 20 new observation and guard posts along that border. So it's sort of a worrying situation for some of us that there is all this activity going on the northern border. We don't even hear about it. This is kind of not even in the news. And people on that northern border are super brave and very, very determined. And some of them have said they're not concerned about all of that stuff. They've been watching people building these watchtowers and increasing the height of the watchtowers. They can see this all from within Israeli territory. And it's just, well, I don't know. I mean, there have been a number of reports about cooperation between Lebanese and Israeli army forces along that northern border. But here with Hezbollah, unfortunately, it's much less cooperation and much more intimidation, I think, especially with these laser pointers and these new observation posts that are going up along that border.
And this was part of the original agreement with Russia, wasn't it, that Iran, i.e. Hezbollah, wouldn't be active so close to the Israeli border? Obviously, that is just simply no longer being respected.
Yeah, I mean, the whole relationship with Russia and the status of those agreements that were entered into is all a little up in the air right now. And, you know, it's not clear to any of us exactly what Israel's position with Russia is, on the one hand, there is obviously a lot of activity going on, particularly in Syria, where there are a lot of Russian forces. We've seen constant flows of arms coming from Iran and Israeli attacks in order to try to intercept the arms which are flowing from Iran. But in spite of Israel's attempts to, let's say, slow down or to try to stop the flow of arms from Iran, even with the best will in the world and the quantities that are going on, it's simply impossible to stop the flow of arms. And so the intelligence will be picking up what they know about the arms that have succeeded in flowing not only to Hezbollah, but of course to Syrian forces. And, you know, as I say, the relationship with Russia is all a little unclear at the moment, given the status of the war in Ukraine. So, yeah, I mean, those agreements, not that all of them were necessarily adhered to from day one, but now even less so.
The US and Israel are this week conducting one of their largest joint military exercises ever. What lies behind this?
So the reports that I've read about this exercise that's going on for the whole of this week, and which is labeled Juniper Oaks, that's the name of the exercise. The reports that I've read don't say where this exercise is being held, which I found quite interesting, because usually they're quite quick to say, oh, it's being held here or there, but here we're not really quite sure. But also the reports go out of their way to say that no mock-ups of Iranian targets have been used in this exercise, and that the joint military forces have been very cautious not to position this as being a practice run for some sort of an attack against Iran. But of course, that's the elephant in the room where these joint exercises are concerned, because we know now the status of the nuclear agreement. The US seems to have really withdrawn itself from trying to re-enter that agreement. And then we have what is labeled as being the most significant large-scale joint exercise between Israeli and U.S. Forces on record to date, ever. And when you look at the amount of hardware that's being used, the number of people, it involves thousands of forces, thousands of individuals, a dozen ships, significant numbers of attack and intelligence drones, and 142 aircraft, including nuclear capable bombers, including F-15s, including F-16s, including F-35s, including F-18s, and including the US's new KC-46 aircraft, which is actually a Boeing 767 that has been converted into an aerial refueling vehicle. So this is the US's new refueling plane that they have, which is actually a Boeing, and has been converted for the purposes of being able to do in-flight refueling. And we understand that a number of these will be actually made available to Israel in the coming years. And so this is one of the aircraft that's going to be used, obviously, to do in-flight refueling. And when you talk about in-flight refueling, and we look at the distance between Israel and Iran,
I was just going to say, the minute you hear that, then you know that it's really about Iran. Not that there was any doubt.
Yeah, because everybody's going out of the way to say, this is really not about Iran, and there's no mock-ups of Iran. But yeah, I mean, that's obviously just the obvious target that everybody would look at. There will be special refueling drills at sea with the Sa'ar 5 ships that Israel has in the Navy. Apparently, the U.S. High Mobility Artillery Rocket System, which is labeled HIMARS, is also going to be used with various similar Israeli attack rockets. This HIMARS has a range of about 480 kilometers, and it's said to be highly accurate in terms of striking its target. So that will be, I think, the first time that Israel will be involved in being involved in testing out the system. So all in all, this is really a massively significant exercise involving U.S. and Israeli forces. And, we can all, I guess, jump to our own conclusions about what we think, why this is happening right now, and why this, level of cooperation. It's being officially labeled as being one of those exercises which are meant to demonstrate and deepen integration between the U.S. and the Israeli military forces. But the question is, why would they wish to be integrated, deepened and this cooperation be forged between the forces, I guess we can all jump to our own conclusions.
And of course, while South Africa, this all happens while Israel conducts a military exercise with the United States, South Africa does the same with Russia and China. And and we wonder who's standing on the right side of history. Other than that, the Yair Lapid has attacked Internal Security Minister Itamar Ben-Gvir. What was the reason for this attack?
So this was a somewhat amusing attack, which had a little bit of a boomerang effect for Yair Lapid, because Yair Lapid yesterday, he was of course now the leader of the official opposition, and yesterday stood up in the Knesset plenum and not only accused Itamar Ben-Gvir of being unqualified for his position, but he then went through a whole list of events which have happened recently, as certain security events. For example, there was an event that happened in Pisgah Ze'ev over the weekend where a young girl was hit by a stray bullet, and while she was sitting at home, which was obviously very, very worrying, we're not quite sure what the source of that was. But Yair Lapid's point was that in days gone by, before he was a minister in government, Itamar Ben-Gvir would turn up at these places the moment some a small or more significant security event took place. Ben-Gvir would be there with the cameras in order to make his point and to be in the public eye. Yair Lapid went through a whole list of certain security events, including that one in Pisgah Ze'ev, but a few others as well, where suddenly he says, "Where is Ben-Gvir? Usually Ben-Gvir would be right there at this event." And it's almost like, "Where's Waldo? Right. Where's Ben-Gvir?"
Right.
Again, he listed a whole series of events that have taken place over the weekend with the question, "Where's Ben-Gvir?" Ben-Gvir responded to him saying, "Ben-Gvir is busy tidying up the mess left by the previous government." and then he went on to say that he's been working from 7 a.m. in the morning until 2 a.m. in the morning in order to try and tidy up the mess that he found when office as Minister of Government. So there was a little bit of a boomerang that came back on Yair Lapid on this particular story, but it was very amusing at the time when he goes through the list of events and he says, "And where's Ben-Gvir?" Because of course this would be a classic one in days gone by when the previous government was in office, that Ben-Gvir would turn up and be highly critical of the current government and the way that they're handling things.
Really, really funny. The other story, of course, that I wanted to chat about, which is one that somehow we all are keen to hear more about, is that Israel's chief rabbi has ruled that cultivated steak is kosher.
Cultivated steak apparently is kosher, and apparently the application was made by a company called Aleph Farms. They are producing cultivated steak in Israel. And it was fascinating just to read about what Aleph Farms are really doing. What is cultivated steak? So in all of the cases where Aleph Farms products are concerned, they are products that have been produced from starter cells that come from a fertilized egg, which was sourced from a premium Black Angus cow called Lucy, and she lives on a breeding farm in California. So Aleph Farms managed to get themselves one fertilized egg from Lucy, and from that, they are able to grow thousands of tons of cultivated meat without engineering or without immortalizing cells, which of course avoids slaughter. And it avoids all kinds of other traditional things that go on where making of meat products is concerned. So this is all laboratory produced from that one fertilized egg, which comes from Lucy in California. And they have been producing this meat, and they applied to the chief rabbinate for a kashrut ruling for the meat that is coming out of their laboratories. This is non-genetically engineered. I don't know how we get to sort of genetically engineered or not, but this is apparently not genetically engineered. And Israeli Chief Rabbi David Baruch Lau has decided that this steak is kosher. And I presume it's also basari, I presume it's also meaty, because that particular point wasn't made specifically, but I presume that because it comes from the cells in the animal in the first place, that it is kosher. But of course, it avoids all the issues of shechita, the ritual killing of the animal, which also contributes towards the kashrut of the meat that is produced. So this was a very, very fascinating story. And of course, it comes even before Aleph Farms has even managed to put out into the market its first product. They are due to launch later this year with their meat products. And I think it's going to be very, very fascinating, not only to try it out and to see how close it is to the real thing, whether we're going to be putting these bits of meat on our braai happily or not. But it's just, you know, the other question which comes to mind is how the community of vegans and vegetarians who object to meat product because of the conditions in which animals are kept and because of the way in which animals are slaughtered, whether they are going to want to eat this meat or not. Maybe there's some listeners out there who are in that category.
Yeah, I'd love to hear from you. 3451 or 061-895-1019. If you are a vegetarian, if you are a vegan, I won't judge it. I won't judge you. I won't hold it against you. Actually, I might. But really what I'm interested in is would you eat this? Is this something that you would eat, given the fact that it never really was an animal? I mean, maybe once in its ancestry or whatever that would be, but it just simply wasn't. This was never roaming the meadows. Would that make a difference to you? 34519 or 061-895-1019. Anthony Reich, that's where we leave it. We'll catch you tomorrow morning at 7:45.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, including finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property, and getting it rental ready. The Blue Agency is happy to announce that they are in South Africa for private meetings. Contact Barry Cohen via WhatsApp on 076-577-2000. That's 076-577-2000. The Blue Agency, your Israeli property, is in good hands.